Well, happy Monday, everybody. Ben and Woods back together. Great to be here with you on a Monday morning. And today is Monday, June 10th, the year 2024. And feeling pretty good this morning, like feeling in a fairly decent mood. You know, like right around the middle, like not too good, not too bad, just kind of good.
Took your lithium.
Took my lithium. I've never taken lithium. You haven't either, I assume.
Correct.
Yeah, you've never even tried tobacco, much less lithium. Good morning. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel. He's the executive producer. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, cuz.
God. Ben Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, joins us as well. Good morning, Benjamin.
Good morning, everybody.
Yeah, the cuz bit got a lot of play over the weekend.
I was.
People said that's going to be a Final Four seed next
year. That's a strong word, cuz.
I have not gone back and listened to our interview we did with Mike Schilt on Friday, but I will tell you this. It brought me a lot of joy, and I guess I should just go ahead and update you guys right now.
Sure.
So I ran into the skipper, Mike Schilt, on Friday night. Got some great stories from that night, by the way. I'll just tell you what happened. So my family was in town from Texas. My mom, my dad, my brother Brent, his wife Tessa, their children Oliver and Owen. And, of course, I've got Bo and Taylor. So Friday night, both of my nephews love baseball, and they both love the Padres. They love the Padres because of, you know, who their uncle is, and they're just into it. They love Fernando Tatis. They love Manny. They love Luis Arraez. Like, they love the whole scene all the way from Austin, Texas. So we send them gear and stuff. They rep City Connect and all their gear at school. So it's pretty cool. And so wanted to give them an opportunity. I took them down to the field for batting practice, which is pretty cool. If you ever get the chance to do it, go do it. If for nothing else than to just watch those guys work. And let me tell you this. When we got there Friday, you know what they were working on? Base running. They were working on base running. Just so everybody that it tweets every night, these guys never work on anything. They were literally out at second base. No one was hitting. They were working on base running. So that was interesting to see. Then guys started trickling over and signing some autographs for my nephews and stuff. And my 6-year-old, so funny. He didn't have a ball or anything. I go, "Do you want an autograph?" He goes, "Nah, I don't care." I was like, "Just have him sign your hat." He's like, "Yeah, I'm good." I'm like,
been there, done that.
He's like, see, he's big leaguing the big leaguers. And it was the funniest thing. Like, he was like, "Yeah, all right, whatever.
Do they want my autograph?
Yeah, do they want to take a picture with me?" Like, it was like, but you're six. Like, you're supposed to love this. He's like, "Yeah, it's cool. It's fine, Dad. Don't worry about it." I was like, "Oh, all right." But he, like, dapped up some guys, Profar and Arraez, and all that was really cool. So I'm standing there, and I go, "Guys, hang on for a sec." And I saw Schilt walking towards the dugout. So I walked up. I go, "Skip." And he turned and looked at me, and he shook his head. And I go, "How you doing?" And he's like, "I'm fine." And I go, "Well, that was fun." He goes, "It was fun for you." So I started dying laughing. So we had a good conversation, you know, about expectations and everything else. And I just told him, I said, "Look, man, I said, it's one thing for people to hear things from us, like a decision maybe that you made. It's something else entirely for them to hear it from you." And I said, "Honestly, I feel like we have a pretty good finger on the pulse of what most Padre fans feel. Now, there's some outliers out there that you're never going to be happy. Never. And I understand that. You're going to complain about the national anthem. You're going to complain about the color of the wall. You're going to complain about every single thing you see. That's your prerogative to do so. Then there are people that are going to bury their head in the sand and just say, 'I love my Padres no matter what. I love my Padres no matter what.' We all fall somewhere in the middle."
Right. And it's not that either way is wrong or falling in the middle is wrong. Everyone just kind of fans a different way.
So I said to him, I go, "It's just, Mike, it's one thing entirely. It's a different thing entirely to hear you tell it. And just because we ask you a question doesn't mean it's necessarily wrong. We just like to hear from the expert. You are the expert of baseball. You are a manager. We are not. We all like to think we are." And it made sense, and we shook hands and you know, said, "Good dude, good luck. We're pulling for you. I know you love your guys. We love your guys." You know, so it was cool. But so we're standing down there. You know, you're down there for a while watching all the work, and it just never gets old watching guys take grounders and hit balls out of the yard and work on going oppo and all the stuff. It's great. So at one point, though, we're kind of done. Everyone, my nephew Owen had gotten everybody he wanted to get. Every player that he wanted to get, he got. So it was really cool. He was really excited. So we were walking off the field. And I looked over, and I saw somebody, and I go, "I need to say hello." And it was Shiel Seidler. And I have never met Shiel before. Now, we had done the radio show when Peter passed. We did 4 hours, a tribute to Peter. And we found out later that she and the kids were listening that day, and she wrote us a very nice card and thanked us for the show that we did that day, and it was very special to me, and it was very special to you guys as well. Mm-hmm. So I got to go and say hello to her, and so I did. I met one of Peter's daughters, and I was shaking hands, and it was just a lovely conversation. And out of the corner of my eye, I look back. And I see my dad, and he's talking to someone.
He had wandered off.
He had wandered off a little bit off the course.
You don't have one of those leashes around his wrist where you'd make sure you keep him no more than like 4 or 5 feet away.
Next time. Because I turned around, I looked over my shoulder, and there's my dad, Gary Woods.
Oh, my God.
Chopping it up with A.J. Preller. And morning, I Dad. Almost vomited in my hands. I go, oh, my. I couldn't hear one word. Now, put yourself in my shoes. I'm talking to the widow of our beloved owner, and I'm so grateful to meet this beautiful, classy woman, and I just want to give all of my attention to this conversation. But now that I see what's happening out of the corner of my eye,
oh, no.
Human
oh, no.
nature
oh, no. Oh,
is,
no.
I'm looking at her nodding, going, uh-huh, sure, yeah, sure. No, I know, right? No way. Yeah, no, he was awesome. We loved him so much. And I'm looking over my shoulder, and I see my dad over there, and I'm like, I don't talk to A.J. Preller very much.
Gary's over there. So what would a package look like for Vlad Guerrero Jr., just in your opinion?
Paulie, I almost effing threw up. I almost threw up!
Holy crap.
And I'm sitting there going, oh no, dude, what is he doing? What is he doing right now?
How much do you make before taxes every year?
Man, yeah. Hey, the Austin Nola deal, you care to explain that? So I'm
when
just,
you travel, do they pay for it, or do you get reimbursed by the team? For
bro,
that?
I'm...
You get those miles?
I'm in hell. I am in hell. And I'm looking back, and I was there for a good 5 minutes. So we're walking back to the deal. Though, I forgot to tell you another part. We're standing by the dugout. And it's,
I think it gets worse.
Yeah, it does. We're standing by the dugout. This guy, he's unreal. Jerickson Profar's done with his work. He's got his bat in his hand, and he's walking down the clubhouse stairs.
This is way worse, actually.
I'm in the front. My dad says this. Hey, can I stop you for a second?
Well, no.
So I go, what? What? And he goes, what kind of bat do you use? And Jerickson's looking around like, who is this? And Jerickson like holds
that,
up his
is that
bat.
Ash? Is that maple?
It's funny that you say that. So he looks at it and he goes, Victus. I've never heard of that. Is that new? And I go, Dad, it's not new. No, Dad, just stop. Shut up. It's not new. Jerickson, go. Go to work. Please. Go to work. And Jerickson's like, all right, bro. See you later. And then my dad goes, those maple. Just like you said.
You're like standing behind your dad looking at Jerickson going, just go.
What are you going to do with that information?
What are you going to buy a Victus? You don't play ball. What are you gonna go buy one? Oh, I need to get one of those. For what? So I'm a wreck. I'm a wreck. Now listen, remember, I got a 12-year-old, a 9-year-old, and a 6-year-old. They're being perfect. They're not doing anything wrong. Now I got my 70-year-old dad. What is that bat? Is that a Vic? I never heard of Victus. Is that new? It's like, oh Dad, Jesus Christ. So So we leave. God. We start walking down the tunnel, and I go, what the hell were you guys talking about? I go, I've never had a face-to-face with AJ that long, ever. And he's like, oh.
But not one-on-one.
He goes, I asked him about the trade deadline and how the deadline's going to look this year. And I'm like, if you want a job in sports radio, go get a job in sports radio, all right? I don't go to your conferences and be like, what's the market going to yield this year for, what are you charging a square foot? Sitting there with a drink in my hand at some real estate convention.
Oh, God.
Wow, that's high. You sure? It feels like you're stealing from people. So I'm dying laughing, right? So he's like, I told him, like, I bet you thought the Guardians were going to be a team you could pull from, and you can't now because they're playing so well. I'm like, all right, just lock it up, dude. Lock it up. Lock it up and be normal. Just lock it up and be normal, please. So, all's well that ends well. We had a great time.
I mean, that's on the Mount Rushmore of Gary stories.
Bro, there's no doubt. It's up with the Terminator. It's up with all of them. It's incredible. What kind of bat do you use? He stopped him. We weren't engaged in conversation, and he curiously said, oh, what kind of bat is that? I've never seen that before. He goes, can I stop you for a sec?
He's off to go change into his uniform.
Yeah, get ready. I got a game to play. I'm a wreck. So that was incredible. And it was fun, man. It was fun. Got to see all the guys and say hello. And, of course, for my nephews, it was really special, and it is all, it was fun. Like, my pops got to see me in my element too, which was really cool. And it was a lot of fun. And then a great game, phenomenal game on Friday.
I do have to point out that the Jurickson did go deep that night and twice in the series after his interaction with Gary.
Probably because my dad fingered his bat on his way down into the clubhouse, but. Yeah, it was priceless. It was one of those priceless dad moments. I love you, Dad. You're the best. Like, don't ever change, because this is the most elite content that we can get. But it was a great time with them, and I went to dinner with my mom to celebrate her 70th on Saturday at Monarch. Have you been to Monarch? It's beautiful.
Is that the one in Del Mar on the top level? Yeah,
gorgeous,
I have been there,
man.
For brunch.
Gorgeous, gorgeous place. Had a great room. And had dinner and all that, and then we said goodbye and had the Tier 1 game yesterday. It was really a lovely weekend, and I'm in a really good mood. And, listen, it's a split, and we'll talk about a split. Split shouldn't make you feel sad. Split shouldn't make you feel good. Split puts you kind of right in the middle, as usual. So we'll talk about all of that today.
Well, nothing nearly as exciting, I think, happened for me. We'll talk about what Paul and I maybe did at some point later in the program, but I want to get going because we have a good show coming up here on a Monday. We'll set the menu when we come back, but I do want to let everybody know Oakland A's are in town tonight, and joining us at 9 o'clock, if you want to circle it this morning because we're looking forward to it, the manager of the Oakland A's, Mark Kotze, is going to be with us, former Padre. Always was one of my favorites. I got to cover him up close for pre- and post-game back in the early 2000s when he was the starting center fielder every day. So we will talk to Mark Kotze coming up at 9 o'clock. We'll let you know the rest of the program when we set the menu coming up next. But we are started. Another week of Men and Woods underway. We'll check traffic with Kelly and then off and rolling till 10 o'clock on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. We were just doing a little math during the break because it's been a dry stretch for the program when it comes to our Padres wrap-up and a winning Padres wrap-up, which we'll have coming up in our next segment. And, of course, it's after another loss yesterday on Sunday, even though the Padres did take two since we last hit the airwaves on Friday morning. They won Friday and Saturday, but yesterday's game was, of course, a loss. And Paul and I were trying to go, when was the last time we actually played a winning Padres wrap-up? And the answer to that question is, shockingly, it'll be 2 weeks on Wednesday. It was May 23rd, actually, I believe, was the last time that we played a winning wrap-up.
And I wasn't even here for that.
No, you were sick.
I was back on Thursday.
And you missed the 2 days that week that they won, which means your last winning wrap-up doesn't come all the way until even before that, like shockingly a long time ago. No, yours was the 23rd. Ours was the 28th. But 2 weeks ago, yours was 3 weeks ago.
Jesus!
That you last heard a winning Padres rap.
All I hear is, it's a shame if they lose.
So you've gone,
it's a shame if they lose.
You've gone 3 weeks with hearing nothing but that. The record since
it's
then?
It's a
7-9.
Shame if they lose.
Right. It's not as though they're losing every game. It's just, when you're here, you never get to talk about a win.
Very cool. Super fun.
You're here for all the losses.
I'm here for all the L's.
None of the wins.
This is great.
It's not great for our mental health.
No.
We need a win sprinkled in every once in a while just to kind of mix things up. Otherwise, it sounds like we're very negative people. Well, you'd sound like negative people as well if they only put you on the air after every single loss and not every win.
Yeah, correct.
Like, hey, you're the losing post-game show host. You come in after the team loses. And this guy here, he's the winning post-game show host. He gets to come in after the team wins. Guess who everyone's going to like more?
Yeah,
the winning post-game show host.
Correct. Correct, man. Correct. Yeah, it's been a while. But, obviously they did sprinkle in a couple of really nice wins over the weekend.
Yeah.
And yesterday was a bit of a turd. And speaking of mental health, I had it on. We had our game in the morning. Paulie and I did, and we dominated. Tier ones are on a nice winning streak right now, and got home and went to Gaga's house, which is my kid's grandmother, and a bunch of kids were over swimming and parents that we love and I coach and kind of our T-ball family. Had the best day, man, and I grilled up burgers and hot dogs, and I had the game on my phone, and I'm like, all right, here we go. Oh, Tatis hit a homer. Yeah, right. I'm like, this is great. 1-1. Sitting there eating lunch. By the time I finished my burger and potato salad, it was 7-1. And I go, that's it. I look around. I'm at a beautiful, there's a beautiful pool. We're going to play, pickleball and all this stuff. And I go, no, not today. Not today, Satan. You're not going to get me. And I turned it off. Best thing I ever did. I checked in on the score later, saw it was 9-3, and I said, I'll let Benny explain this one to me.
Fine.
I saw enough to know, this is no good.
Yeah, I went on my way to work yesterday at Channel 10, but I didn't get there until the top of the second, so I sit down immediately. They give up six runs, and I did see Jurickson's home run, but then I had to head out a couple of innings later and get to work. So I can definitely explain what happened to Adam Mazur yesterday. Saw it with my own eyes, and it's not actually a giant mystery what happened to Adam Mazur yesterday, but we'll go through it in our Padres wrap-up, talk about the other games this weekend as well in the first half of our show. We've got a brand-new Las Vegas trip to give away on Take on Woods this month, a trip to the Fontainebleau. Your first chance to qualify comes up at 7:10 this morning. Had some wild things happening in baseball over the weekend. We'll hit on some of them in Don't Do This at 7:20. And then in the second half of the show, Sammy Leavitt will join us at 8:35 in season Sammy. And of course, as I mentioned, Mark Kotze, the manager of the Oakland A's, in town for a three-game series. That's a team that's not as bad as people thought.
No.
They're not going to be a playoff contender, but they've got some interesting players, interesting pieces, and they could absolutely
ruin your week.
Ruin our week here in San Diego. No doubt about it.
I'll tell you what, man. They play really hard. And it's funny. I was thinking about this with Kotze coming on at 9. I don't really care much about asking him, the manager, about what the front office is doing and the move to Vegas. I don't. It's going to be so long. Who knows if he'll be there? I want to ask him specifically.
The odds are he won't. With Major League Baseball managers, the odds are it's beyond his tenure.
But the odds are he should. It's one of those situations like it's like Brandon Hyde in Baltimore. You were with us when we were shoveling crap. You deserve a shot when we are good. And I think Mark Kotze fits in that mold perfectly. Like,
there's also extremely high odds that he's not going to come on, even if you did ask him that question.
And rip ownership.
Yeah, John Fisher, F you.
Right.
And
but I just, what I care about with Kotze is what an interesting, like, day one this season, sitting down and going, looking around at what you have and going, okay, I got to get the most out of this town. He's like a real life butter maker.
This Mason Miller guy seems
he's pretty good, but he's like butter maker. But he's got to figure it out.
And I don't know what Mark Kotze's current contract is, but if he does well, if I'm Mark Kotze, I'm not signing an extension in Oakland. I'm waiting until I become a free agent, and then I go, Anybody else with, you know, payroll, be interested in seeing what I can do with their team.
He's done some good stuff,
you know, while they play in Sacramento for the next 3 years coming up.
And he's a guy I root for, obviously not this week, but Mark Kotze's definitely had him on my old show many, many years ago, and just love the guy. What a great, great baseball dude he is.
If you want to go to that game, we'll also be giving away some tickets in and around that Mark Kotze interview for tomorrow's game, Padres A's. It's the Joe Musgrove basketball jersey night for the first 40,000 fans. You can get your tickets at padres.com/tickets, but we'll be giving away a pair coming up later in the program today after Mark Kotze joins us, so stay tuned for that. We'll finish with a Rindle report, and then that'll be it for our Monday show, but it should be a good one, should be a busy one, and hopefully will be a fun one this morning. I've already seen everyone talking in the chat about your trip to Petco Park on Friday with your family.
It was unbelievable.
Epic,
man.
Legendary story from Woods.
Gary's trip to Petco Park.
Yeah. It makes me want to bring him with us places, like bring him out to spring training and give him a mic and just set him loose on the backfields and just have a credential. I wonder if they'd credential him. They probably would for spring training as an extension of the Ben and Woods show. And then just, Dad, here's your mic. At the end of the day, give it back to Paulie. I don't want to hear it until the next day. And we can do like Curious Dad. That can be the bit. Curious Dad, and we just send him on the backfield and just let him go.
Ruben, track man, what's that about?
I mean, bro, he'll wear these guys out. It'll be amazing.
Well, you know how the big time shows, they don't actually want to go to Super Bowl Media Day. They send someone else.
Send somebody.
Gary Woods to Super Bowl Media Day.
Our Guillermo.
Bro, he's half retired anyway. Guillermo. Gary Elmo. He's half retired anyway. He would do it in a heartbeat. That's the fun part. Give him a mic and go. And I'd be like, Dad, don't be a reporter. Just be yourself. Just go be yourself. Just wearing those guys out to no end. What kind of bat do you care? Was my answer. Why would you care? Well, I've never seen that one before. All right, but it's everywhere, number one. Victus is not a new brand. I don't know. This is my life. This has been my whole life. That's why I love him. He's the best.
All right, let's take a time out. We'll talk about yesterday's loss and our Padres wrap-up, and then get into the rest of the weekend, which, as you said, was decent for the San Diego Padres. They got the bats going for the most part. We'll talk about it coming up next with Ben Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Yeah, it almost seems unfair, doesn't it, having to play the losing montage after yesterday. But, you know, rules are rules, and the Padres did lose.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of a loophole.
Them at the same time?
We don't have montages for Friday and Saturday. We only have yesterday's montage. Sure. And it would be weird to play the winning montage
after you
in
lost.
Front of losing highlights.
We need to get a board, like a whiteboard, in this studio.
Yep.
You know, like it's been this many days since we've had
workplace accident.
Accident.
It's been this many days since we've talked about a Padres win.
It's been 84 years for me. It's been 83 weeks, I think, since I've gotten to come on the airways together. Now, that was a heck of a win last night.
Well, yesterday's loss wasn't a big mystery, but we'll get into it after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
It's a shame if they lose.
A shame indeed.
It's a complete crap.
Oh, I did not like that.
Here are the lowlights from yesterday's game.
Are you kidding me?
Boo.
It's the Padres wrap-up, presented by Hummel Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hummel Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
We'll give it 16 minutes of salt, and then we'll, get back on the bump and figure it out.
It's not your fault.
1-2, Walker swings, lines it sharply into left field. Profar charges it, plays it on a hop. Going to wave Carroll, he's on his way. Throw to the plate is up the first baseline. An RBI single for Christian Walker, and the Diamondbacks take a 1-0 lead here in the first. One out, nobody on. The 2-1 pitch, Fernando swings, hits it in the air to deep center field. Carroll's back to watch. This one, going to go! Tatis ties it with one swing in the first inning. His second homer of the series, and what a way to set a new career high. 15-game hitting streak for Fernando, and he does it in style. Here's the 1-1. Peterson hits a ground ball through the right side of the base hit. Newman has scored. Carroll's being waved. Fernando comes up firing the throw to the plate, not in time. A two-run single for Jock Peterson, and the Diamondbacks back in front. It's 3-1. 2-1 hit hard and over Solano, a fair ball down the left field line. That's going to cause some more trouble. Marte has scored. Peterson being waved. Kim will make a relay to the plate, and he is safe! Campusano had the ball waiting for him. Jock slid in feet first, and they must have just missed the tag. The home plate umpire, Charlie Ramos, really had his nose right in there, and he called him safe without hesitation. We'll see if the Padres challenge it. They will not. Here's the 1-1, and McCarthy hits it in the air deep down the right field line towards the Petco porch. This one going to go. Just snuck it over the yellow line for Jake McCarthy, and just like that, it is 7-1. Brito now, and first pitch swinging, ground ball off the mound into center field, and a base hit. Gurriel being waved around third. Merrill comes up throwing, but it is cut by Arise, and an RBI single for Suarez, the fourth straight Diamondback hit. They now lead it 9-3. Jarvis takes a moment to collect himself, two heels on the rubber, into the windup. And the first pitch is grounded to second base. Marte lets it roll out to him. He's got it. Long throw to first is in time. A 1-2-3 ninth for Kevin Jarvis's kid, Bryce. And the Diamondbacks beat the Padres 9-3 as they earn a four-game split in this series.
Well, some base hits, you know, some balls found holes. That was part of it. Didn't look like he was didn't have as good a command as he had maybe last time. More mental mistakes. But, you know, like I said, ground ball away from getting out of innings last time out, so trying to figure him out a little bit. You know, I have a lot of history with him. You know, you got in a little bit of traffic early. And with your starter, you got to trust him. And he got four ground balls, you know, double play balls. Today, didn't get the double play balls. Balls were hit at people, or not at people. And, you know, they gave the ball down the line, then McCarthy got him for the homer. But, you know, before that, it went a ton of damage. It was just command.
Mike Schilt's talking about Adam Mazur, Padres rookie making his second career start. And what was the difference between start number one, in which he gave just one run against the Angels, and start number two, in which he gave up eight runs against the Arizona Diamondbacks? And I would throw out there, because I was at the game yesterday when he was pitching, that the answer, and Mike Schilt kind of alluded to it, not that much different. And it's not that he got really, really unlucky yesterday, although there were a couple of balls that had been a couple of feet in a different direction, could have very much changed the course of the game. He also got pretty lucky in his first start.
Sure.
In the game against the Angels, he walked four, had a lot of traffic, gave up some hard hit grounders, and they went right at guys, and he turned a couple of key double plays that got him out of jams, that bailed him out of what could have been, you know, big innings against him that never materialized. This time, didn't get that same sort of fortune. When the bases were loaded in the second inning and Jock Peterson hit a ground ball to the right side, it was a hard grounder, but it was right between first and second. That scored two runs. Then the double down the line by Gurriel could have gotten him out at the plate. You know, Luis Camposano admitted after the game, now he was safe. Throw was there. I was there. You know, I had to give him a lane. And, you know, because I was giving him that lane to run, then I couldn't reach over and make the tag. It really is a catch-22 for catchers, where you can't get in position to make a tag or you'll get called for blocking the plate. But even if you have the ball, then you're too far away to make the tag in many situations, and thus the runner gets in safely. There's just no way to win that battle anymore with the way the catcher's blocking rules are created. And ultimately, Adam Mazur could not recover from that and ended up with eight earned runs charged to his ledger.
That is, listen, you get through game one of your big league career and tamp the nerves down and find a way to make pitches and guys roll over. And again, I thought against the Angels, I don't want to take anything away from a brilliant performance because it really was a nice performance for his debut. But again, you're talking about guys up there hacking first pitch after, you know, he's all over the place and grounded into double plays. That's not a recipe for sustained success when you don't have nasty swing and miss type stuff. So if he's going to be effective, his control has to be perfect. So I don't know what to look for or expect from Adam Mazur. Certainly not the first guy to scuffle in his second start. Hopefully there's something he can build on. Hopefully there's something Ruben can help him with. And you know, we'll see if he gets another one.
When they fell behind 7-1, I did say that I truly believe the Padres would get back into the game. I said it's unlikely they will win. You don't win a lot of games when you're down 7-1, but I felt like at some point they're going to make a run and get back into it. And right away, they had a chance to get back into that game. In the bottom of the second inning, they loaded the bases, they had a run in, they had Luis Arraez at the plate. Kind of a perfect situation. He gets a hit there, drives in a couple.
Yeah,
it's 7-4. I would think, you know, all of a sudden the Diamondbacks are going, well, that didn't last long. We thought we had this game kind of comfortably in control, and now they're right hot on our heels again. But instead, he grounded into a double play up the middle. It was only 7-2. Profar hit the home run, but it was a solo shot, and they were never able to get closer than that. 7-3. The Diamondbacks kept him just at arm's length enough that you never felt a comeback was truly present, even though I really did believe that they were going to kind of get back into that game, if not get all the way back to win it. It just didn't happen, didn't materialize for the Padres yesterday.
Yeah, I just saw a crazy stat, Benny, looking at the latest letters to AJ. I get, you know, subscribe on Substack. Everyone should. Really, really good Padres writing. Still in the hunt is the topic of this bottom part of it. It says the upshot is, despite going 2-6 over the last 8 games, they're still in sole possession of the second wild card spot. There are 7 teams within a game and a half of closing in. Doesn't get any closer than that. Last week, a missed opportunity, but also another week survived, still in the hunt. White knuckle baseball all season, and there's no sign that's going to stop. And I like that. That characterization of the San Diego Padres is white knuckle baseball. That's exactly what it is. I mean, it is exactly what it is. You're white knuckling your way through yesterday's game. You know, obviously Friday and Saturday, we all could ease up a little bit, and you know, Padres went and laid the wood to them both nights. But I'm telling you, man, here we go against the A's. We're going to be white knuckling 3 games against the A's this week. And again, like he said, there are people nipping at our heels right now. This is another huge, huge week for this team.
What was inevitable, though, was that at some point, injuries to, you know, 4 of your 5 highest paid players going to come back and bite you a little bit at some point. And, you know, the Padres, even though they had lost 5 in a row, none of those you felt were really necessarily a product of the pitching injuries because they got such good starting pitching. But at some point you felt like missing Yu Darvish and Joe Musgrove, missing Xander Bogaerts and Manny Machado is going to lead to a game where a pitcher who is put into a situation that he's not quite ready for
Yep.
is going to have a bad day. And that was yesterday. That was yesterday when Adam Mazur, you know, they had film on him from the first game, didn't have his stuff, a rookie, let things get out of control, and you didn't have, you know, all your big boppers there to try to come back and save you in that game. It's almost remarkable that it took so long since they put both guys on the injured list that the Padres did a bad pitching start like that. And those are going to happen when your depth is tested. And any team would be challenged to, you know, have their depth tested when you have those many, you know, top players out at the same time.
Well, I mean, listen, I don't know. Every team suffers injury, certainly. But in that week of crap games that they lost, Benny, they were elite at run prevention. Elite. And, you know, missing a couple of offensive stars that haven't really given you a lot on offense this year. I don't know. I mean, they were second only to the Yankees, who are allowing 3.28 runs a game. Padres allowed in those losses 3.4 runs a game. So, again, I love that they were in those games. I love that they didn't get bodied in those games. You know, yesterday, maybe the outlier in the last 10 days or so, last 8 days or so. Yeah, the other guys that are in there needed to honestly continue what they'd done all season long. And, you know, are we missing Xander Bogaerts' production right now? We're missing the potential of what it could be. Are we missing Manny Machado's production? I think we're missing the potential of what it could be and has been at times. But, you know, it's unfortunately one of those things where the other guys got to step up.
Well, and the offense hasn't been terrible. And I know you're going to go, well, how did they keep losing games 2-1 and 3-2?
Yeah.
They just didn't get hits with runners in scoring position.
Yeah, they had opportunity.
Yesterday was the first time in 10 games that the Padres were out hit by their opponent. With the kind of pitching that they've been getting, you would think, okay, what are they, 8-2 in those games? No, they're 4-6
right.
In those 10 games. They have not gotten the clutch hits. Yesterday was the first truly game in which the Padres were just outplayed. you know, top to bottom. They just got outplayed yesterday. That's going to happen. I'm not going to wring my hands about yesterday's loss. It's still the ones from last week. The games that they could have had, that they should have had.
For sure.
That they could have had a cushion over all those teams that you said the log jam that is currently in the National League is nuts. Braves, Padres, and then four teams are tied for the third wild card spot. It's the Cubs, Cardinals,
Reds.
Giants, and Reds.
Yep.
And then you've got three more teams that are within a game and a half in the Pirates Diamondbacks, and
Nationals.
Yeah. I mean, everybody. And the Mets are only three games
back. The Mets are three games out. I mean, honestly, the two teams that are the out of it are Colorado and Miami. And, everyone is just hovering around right now. Again, who wants to take it? It's there for the taking. Who wants it the most? And we will see. I mean, you see what the Cincinnati Reds... That's the thing I wanted to bring up. What have they won in a row? They won at 1.8 in a row recently. Maybe it's... I don't know how they did this weekend, but it was at one point they won eight in a row.
No, this weekend I think they split Cubs, four games with the Cubs.
Okay, so to get to that point, though, they had won eight consecutive games. Eight. The Cincinnati Reds. Are you going to tell me that the Cincinnati Reds have a better baseball team? And I understand it's opponent-dependent, but we played some crap opponents and got swept. That's the tough part for me. You're seeing teams like the Reds run off a eight-game... Yeah, it almost seems unfair, doesn't it, having to play the losing montage after yesterday. But, you know, rules are rules, and the Padres did lose.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of a loophole.
Maybe we play them at the same time?
We don't have montages for Friday and Saturday. We only have yesterday's montage.
Sure.
And it would be weird to play the winning montage
after you
in
lost.
Front of losing highlights.
We need to get a board, like a whiteboard, in this studio.
Yep.
You know, like it's been this many days since we've had
workplace accident.
It's been this many days since we've talked about a Padres win.
It's been 84 years for me. It's been 83 weeks, I think, since I've gotten to come on the airways together. Now, that was a heck of a win last night.
Well, yesterday's loss wasn't a big mystery, but we'll get into it after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
It's a shame if they lose.
A shame indeed.
It's a complete crap.
Oh, I did not like that.
Here are the lowlights from yesterday's game.
Are you kidding me?
Boo.
It's the Padres Wrap-Up, presented by Hummel Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hummel Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hummel Casino, fun above all else.
We'll give it 16 minutes of salt and then we'll, you know, get back on the bump and figure it out.
It's not your fault.
1-2, Walker swings, lines it sharply into left field. Profar charges it, plays it on a hop. Going to wave Carroll, he's on his way. Throw to the plate is up the first baseline. An RBI single for Christian Walker, and the Diamondbacks take a 1-0 lead here in the first. One out, nobody on. The 2-1 pitch, Fernando swings, hits it in the air to deep center field. Carroll's back to watch. This one, going to go! Tatis ties it with one swing in the first inning. His second homer of the series, and what a way to set a new career high. 15-game hitting streak for Fernando, and he does it in style. Here's the 1-1. Peterson hits a ground ball through the right side of the base hit. Newman has scored. Carroll's being waved. Fernando comes up firing the throw to the plate, not in time. A two-run single for Jock Peterson, and the Diamondbacks back in front. It's 3-1. 2-1 hit hard and over Solano, a fair ball down the left field line. That's going to cause some more trouble. Marte has scored. Peterson being waved. Kim will make a relay to the plate, and he is safe! Campusano had the ball waiting for him. Jock slid in feet first, and they must have just missed the tag. The home plate umpire, Charlie Ramos, really had his nose right in there, and he called him safe without hesitation. We'll see if the Padres challenge it. They will not. Here's the 1-1. And McCarthy hits it in the air deep down the right field line towards the Petco porch. This one going to go. Just snuck it over the yellow line for Jake McCarthy. And just like that, it is 7-1. Brito now. And first pitch swinging. Ground ball off the mound into center field. And a base hit. Gurriel being waved around third. Merrill comes up throwing, but it is cut by Arise. And an RBI single for Suarez. The fourth straight Diamondback hit. They now lead it 9-3. Jarvis takes a moment to collect himself. Two heels on the rubber into the windup. And the first pitch is grounded to second base. Marte lets it roll out to him. He's got it. Long throw to first is in time. A 1-2-3 ninth for Kevin Jarvis's kid, Bryce. And the Diamondbacks beat the Padres 9-3 as they earn a four-game split in this series.
Well, some base hits, you know, some balls found holes. That was part of it. Didn't look like he was didn't have as good a command as he had maybe last time. More middle mistakes. But, you know, like I said, a ground ball away from getting out of innings last time out, so trying to figure him out a little bit. You know, I have a lot of history with him. You know, he got in a little bit of traffic early. And with your starter, you know, you got to trust him. And he got four ground balls, you know, double play balls. Today, didn't get the double play balls. Balls were hit at people, or not at people. And, you know, they gave the ball down the line, then McCarthy got him for the homer. But, you know, before that, it went a ton of damage. It was just command.
Mike Schilt talking about Adam Mazur, Padres rookie making his second career start. And what was the difference between start number one, in which he gave just one run against the Angels, and start number two, in which he gave up eight runs against the Arizona Diamondbacks? And I would throw out there, because I was at the game yesterday when he was pitching, that the answer, and Mike Schilt kind of alluded to it, not that much different. And it's not that he got really, really unlucky yesterday, although there were a couple of balls that had been a couple of feet in a different direction, could have very much changed the course of the game. He also got pretty lucky in his first start.
Sure.
In the game against the Angels, he walked four, had a lot of traffic, gave up some hard hit grounders, and they went right at guys. And he turned a couple of key double plays that got him out of jams, that bailed him out of what could have been, you know, big innings against him that never materialized. This time, didn't get that same sort of fortune. When the bases were loaded in the second inning and Jock Peterson hit a ground ball to the right side, it was a hard grounder, but it was right between first and second. That scored two runs. Then the double down the line by Gurriel could have gotten him out at the plate. You know, Luis Camposano admitted after the game, now he was safe. Throw was there. I was there. You know, I had to give him a lane. And, you know, because I was giving him that lane to run, then I couldn't reach over and make the tag. It really is a catch-22 for catchers, where you can't get in position to make a tag or you'll get called for blocking the plate. But even if you have the ball, then you're too far away to make the tag in many situations, and thus the runner gets in safely. There's just no way to win that battle anymore with the way the catcher's blocking rules are created. And ultimately, Adam Mazur could not recover from that and ended up with eight earned runs charged to his ledger.
That is, you get through game one of your big league career and tamp the nerves down and find a way to make pitches and guys roll over. And again, I thought against the Angels, I don't want to take anything away from a brilliant performance, because it really was a nice performance for his debut. But again, you're talking about guys up there hacking first pitch after, you know, he's all over the place and grounded into double plays. That's not a recipe for sustained success when you don't have nasty swing and miss type stuff. So if he's going to be effective, his control has to be perfect. So I don't know what to look for or expect from Adam Mazur. Certainly not the first guy to scuffle in his second start. Hopefully there's something he can build on. Hopefully there's something Ruben can help him with. And you know, we'll see if he gets another one.
When they fell behind 7-1, I did say that I truly believe the Padres would get back into the game. I said it's unlikely they will win. You don't win a lot of games when you're down 7-1, but I felt like at some point they're going to make a run and get back into it. And right away, they had a chance to get back into that game. In the bottom of the second inning, they loaded the bases, they had a run in, they had Luis Arraez at the plate. Kind of a perfect situation. He gets a hit there. Drives in a couple.
Yeah,
it's 7-4. I would think, you know, all of a sudden the Diamondbacks are going, well, that didn't last long. We thought we had this game kind of comfortably in control, and now they're right hot on our heels again. But instead, he grounded into a double play up the middle. It was only 7-2. Profar hit the home run, but it was a solo shot, and they were never able to get closer than that. 7-3. The Diamondbacks kept him just at arm's length enough that you never felt a comeback was truly present, even though I really did believe that they were going to kind of get back into that game, if not get all the way back to win it. It just didn't happen, didn't materialize for the Padres yesterday.
Yeah, I just saw a crazy stat, Benny, looking at the latest letters to AJ. I get, you know, subscribe on Substack. Everyone should. Really, really good Padres writing. Still in the hunt is the topic of this bottom part of it. It says the upshot is Despite going 2-6 over the last eight games, they're still in sole possession of the second wild card spot. There are seven teams within a game and a half of closing in. Doesn't get any closer than that. Last week, a missed opportunity, but also another week survived, still in the hunt. White-knuckle baseball all season, and there's no sign that's going to stop. And I like that characterization of the San Diego Padres as white-knuckle baseball. That's exactly what it is. I mean, it is exactly what it is. You're white-knuckling your way through yesterday's game. You know, obviously Friday and Saturday, we all could ease up a little bit, and you know, Padres went and laid the wood to them both nights. But I'm telling you, man, here we go against the A's. We're going to be white-knuckling three games against the A's this week. And again, like he said, there are people nipping at our heels right now. This is another huge, huge week for this team.
What was inevitable, though, was that at some point, injuries to, you know, four of your five highest-paid players going to come back and bite you a little bit at some point. And, you know, the Padres, even though they had lost five in a row, none of those you felt were really necessarily a product of the pitching injuries because they got such good starting pitching. But at some point you felt like missing Yu Darvish and Joe Musgrove, missing Xander Bogaerts and Manny Machado is going to lead to a game where a pitcher who is put into a situation that he's not quite ready for
yep.
is going to have a bad day. And that was yesterday. That was yesterday when Adam Mazur, you know, they had film on him from the first game, didn't have his stuff, a rookie, let things get out of control, and you didn't have, you know, all your big boppers there to try to come back and save you in that game. It's almost remarkable that it took so long since they put both guys on the injured list that the Padres did a bad pitching start like that. And those are going to happen when your depth is tested. And any team would be challenged to, you know, have their depth tested when you have those many, you know, top players out at the same time.
Well, I mean, listen, I don't know. Every team suffers injury, certainly. But in that week of crap games that they lost, Benny, they were elite at run prevention. Elite. And, you know, missing a couple of offensive stars that haven't really given you a lot on offense this year. I don't know. I mean, they were second only to the Yankees, who are allowing 3.28 runs a game. Padres allowed in those losses 3.4 runs a game. So, again, I love that they were in those games. I love that they didn't get bodied in those games. You know, yesterday, maybe the outlier in the last 10 days or so, last 8 days or so. Yeah, the other guys that are in there needed to honestly continue what they'd done all season long. And, you know, are we missing Xander Bogaerts' production right now? We're missing the potential of what it could be. Are we missing Manny Machado's production? I think we're missing the potential of what it could be and has been at times. But, you know, it's unfortunately one of those things where the other guys got to step up.
Well, and the offense hasn't been terrible. And I know you're going to go, well, how did they keep losing games 2-1 and 3-2?
Yeah.
They just didn't get hits with runners in scoring position.
Yeah, they had opportunity.
Yesterday was the first time in 10 games that the Padres were out hit by their opponent. With the kind of pitching that they've been getting, you would think, okay, what are they, 8-2 in those games? No, they're 4-6
right.
in those 10 games. They have not gotten the clutch hits. Yesterday was the first truly game in which the Padres were just outplayed. You know, top to bottom, they just got outplayed yesterday. That's going to happen. I'm not going to wring my hands about yesterday's loss. It's still the ones from last week. The games that they could have had, that they should have had.
For sure.
That they could have had a cushion over all those teams that you said. The logjam that is currently in the National League is nuts. Braves, Padres, and then four teams are tied for the third wild card spot. It's the Cubs, Cardinals,
Reds.
Giants, and Reds.
Yep.
And then you've got three more teams that are within a game and a half in the Pirates,
Diamondbacks,
and Nationals.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody. And the Mets are only three games
back. The Mets are three games out. I mean, honestly, the two teams that are the out of it are Colorado and Miami. And, everyone is just hovering around right now. Again, who wants to take it? It's there for the taking. Who wants it the most? And we will see. I mean, you see what the Cincinnati Reds. That's the thing I wanted to bring up. What have they won in a row? They won at 1.8 in a row recently. Maybe it's, I don't know how they did this weekend, but it was at one point they won eight in a row.
No, this weekend I think they split
did
with
they
the
split?
Cubs, four games with the Cubs.
Okay, so to get to that point, though, they had won eight consecutive games. Eight. The Cincinnati Reds. Are you going to tell me that the Cincinnati Reds have a better baseball team, and I understand it's opponent-dependent, but we played some crap opponents and got swept. That's the tough part for me. You're seeing teams like the Reds run off a 8-game winning streak. An 8-game winning streak seems like a fantasy land. There's no way. We haven't even swept a team yet. The only team left in baseball to not complete a sweep. That's absurd. It's June. Everybody else has done it.
The funny thing is, all those teams that they're competing with, at least for the most part, the Reds, Padres already won the season series.
Braves.
Cubs, Padres already won the season series. The Braves, Padres took 3 of 4 from them. The Diamondbacks, Padres lead the season series against the Diamondbacks.
Right.
They're matching up head-to-head and showing they're a little bit better than all of these teams. But then when they're playing the bad teams, the Padres are struggling and the other teams are making hay.
Yep.
And thus keeping pace with the Padres, who should have been pulling away and are not. What does it mean in the end? I mean, you feel like, well, eventually the Padres are going to regret not taking advantage of the Rockies and the Angels. But at the other coin is that the other teams can't seem to beat the Padres when they play them consistently, which is going to make it hard for them to get past the Padres at any point.
And you can't let those two series define your season. You just can't. And it's up to you guys, as we always say, you know, it's up to you guys to change the narrative. I can't change it for you. You're the ones that actually have to change the narrative by going out and handling business against those teams. I mean, inexcusable to lose 3 to the Angels. And you can't let it define you, though.
Ultimately, I'm a little worried about Adam Mazur. Not that, you know, he's not, still a top prospect, but right now at the major league level, I'm not seeing the kind of, quality pitches that he's going to need to be successful. You know, he's got to be better, more sharp. You know, is it nerves? Is it execution? If he's coming back out in 5 more days, I'm going to be very nervous about that game.
100%.
And that's a problem. All right, we'll come back. We got Take on Woods ahead. We got a brand new Las Vegas trip to give away, a trip to the Fontainebleau, your chance to win coming up with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.